Happy Friday, friends. It is time to go over the NCAA Women's Tournament. We're going to get excited about our four teams, the 25% that are going to make it to the Elite Eight and keep things rolling for us here in the ACC. We'll talk about the Ole Miss Louisville game. Will that be one where we just have to have T's and P's for our Cardinals? Will Tennessee give Virginia Tech trouble? I don't know. We'll talk about all of those things on today's show.
You are Locked On ACC, your daily podcast on the Atlantic Coast Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The natural light is hitting me today. The vibes are right. And that just means ACC women's basketball is upon us. It's super excited about NCAA tournament for four of our teams who will make their case to try and compete for an Elite Eight spot. We'll talk about all of that, what the upsets could look like, what some of the tough matchups will be. But Kenton Gibbs is here with us, and we talk through all of that fun, magical stuff as we prepare for a really good weekend of college basketball still.
Absolutely. We're still in March. You know, although most of our teams have been eliminated, we are still in March. And that's, you know, we still got a lot of quality basketball left for a lot of ACC teams, not necessarily as many on the men's side, but we still got a lot of women's teams left in the dance. And we're going to see what they can do to advance and keep on dancing, keep on ballroom hustling their way to a Final Four, maybe even a national championship.
Absolutely. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more by visiting FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started today. We already had an episode yesterday about why Miami will beat Houston, so make sure you check that out on the men's front in case you're saying, oh, Miami's playing today. We know. We gave you a whole episode and guidelines to talk about the portal party, all the things. So go ahead and hit that button from yesterday. But today is about those Miami women who will take on Villanova at 2:30 on ESPN live and direct. I feel like the Hurricanes have all the juices flowing. The Cavender Twins are in their bag. Destiny Harden is doing her thing, and they just have to keep this rolling. They can't let themselves get too caught up in the moment. They know Indiana matchup was tough, but they've been through almost literally everything when it comes to a type tournament style play. So I think they're prepared and ready.
The thing about this game that I think is going to be the biggest question is what can you do in terms of stopping Maddie Segrist? That's the ball game. That's going to be the ball game. That's going to be the deal. And it's not about stopping her in terms of, you know, completely shutting her down, shutting her off. There are certain players that are so great. You don't stop them. You can only hope to contain them. Maddie Segrist is one of those players.
Right.
But with that being said, it's about taking out the others.
Yeah.
It's about like how they talked about the Jordan rules. If you watch the Last Dance documentary, right? Mm-hmm. If you watch NC State play Iowa earlier this year, Caitlin Clark got hers. Nobody else ate. Nobody else ate. And that team ultimately ended up losing to – and NC State ended up winning that game. Mm-hmm. Miami should have a similar game plan in that we're going to put our best defender on Segrist, and all of our best defenders are going to rotate on her. Everything that we do is going to be get the ball out of her hands, period. Because if that happens, I don't know if Villanova has enough defensively to stop – the Cavender Twins and Harden and company. I don't know if they do, but if you allow her to put up her regular averages, if you allow her to you know, go off for 20 some odd points on 40% shooting from deep and all that good stuff, you're going to have a problem. It's going to it's not going to be a fun time for you.
Yeah, I absolutely think they're going to have to contain Segrist, but more than that, they're going to have to not get themselves in large deficits. Don't take yourself out of the game. You're in a neutral site, right? You don't have that whole, we have to play away. We have to play against, you know, an opposing crowd. You have a neutral energy that you can bring to the forefront, and you got to capitalize on that. I think that's going to be huge for Miami. They've, you know, fed off the negativity. We saw my girl hushed the crowd when she made her free throws, and that's cool and everything. But if you're going to be the evil one, now you got a neutral site. Don't try and find another gear. Like, what is it going to be for the Hurricanes when it's all said and done? Do you think that the Canes can pull off this upset?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I wholeheartedly believe. Here's the thing. One of the biggest advantages that Maddie Segrist has had over her opponents is she moves like a guard at 6'2". Mm-hmm. And in women's basketball, 6'2" is that's forward center territory.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. You don't see too many defenders, too many lengthy defenders, too many players that are going to find ways to get up in your space that are also in that same height range that have the lateral quickness to do so and the strength to kind of do something with you in the post like you will in the ACC.
Yeah.
In the, I believe they're the Big East. You're not going to find that same
great
deal.
Point. Yeah, that's
so,
a great point.
You know, this is a situation where, again, a lot of people are going to look at this game and say, oh, well, you know, Maddie's seen great defenders all year and she's done good things against all of them. Sure. But again, it's not just about an individual defender. It's about the entire team. It's about how the team shows up, how the team defends, how they send waves at it. Because again, if you're counting on one player to say, hey, we're going to trust you to shut her down, congratulations, you've already lost the game. But if you're coming in waves and if you're shutting out the other players, that's where you get a win in here.
Yeah. I don't know if Villanova has met such a scrappy team like Miami. Like, you know, they face out UConn and all the things, but like a scrappy, we're here and we fought our way here and we know that we're about some, like about all of that action. I don't know that Villanova has faced off against a team like that. So it'll be very interesting to see. So that's matchup number one happening on Friday, again at 2:30 on ESPN. So make sure you check that out. Moving on to our next game here. We've got Ole Miss taking on Louisville. Now, for those you don't know, Ole Miss is a team that has upset quite a few. They've had a great season. Coach Yeo is doing amazing things down in Mississippi, and she is taking over, you know, your platforms about how hard-nosed and make sure she wants her team to come out on top. She's facing off against a Louisville team that's starting to find themselves. It's really starting to figure out who they are, how they want to win, and led by Haley Van Lith, who's having an amazing tournament season. Can they keep that momentum going? It'll be the question. When will we see the Louisville of old? Hopefully never, but I'm interested to see beyond Haley, who's going to step up in a big way today.
Absolutely. And let me say this, right? Louisville is the lower seeded team here, because they beat the number one seed Stanford in their side of the bracket already. So this is not an Ole Miss team to sleep on by any means, any stretch of the imagination.
Right.
With that being said, this is also an Ole Miss team that they've showed some pliability. They've showed some situations where they have not fired at their top clip all season. I'll just say that. There have been moments where they haven't been as good, where they've had some situations with injuries and whatnot to where – again, I'm not saying this would not be the craziest thing in the world if we saw Louisville come away with this win and find their way into the Elite Eight. Because like you said, Haley Van Lith has been balling. She has found it. She has turned it on. She was struggling. And as she goes, the team goes. So that's maybe the only potential problem you see there. As Haley goes, the team goes. But if you look at what has happened, if you look at objectively how she's played recently, she's turned it on. She has been hot as fist grease, and she's got done what this team has needed to get done for Louisville to have success and be at this point in the tournament.
And I think Angel Baker from Ole Miss kind of has had the same mark. She helped with that big upset win against Stanford, and how can she play against Haley this evening? But I think it'll also be from our top players for Louisville. It's going to be interesting to see how Louisville can just respond to adversity, because they've done it so far in the tournament, but we've also seen them have ugly, ugly wins this season. Kristlyn Carr, 3-point shooter, she's going to have to be hitting. She's going to have to be making some shots. And I think you have to just, you know, create the space for, if Haley can't get it together, have Carr be able to go, and also have Miss Morgan. So overall, I'm really excited to see where the Cardinals can take this. I think this might be the one that gets them caught up. Just because of how the energy of Ole Miss right now, this might be the one that gets Louisville caught up.
I mean, I'll say this. Ole Miss is 2-4 against teams that are ranked this season. So they've beat up on some teams. They've done some good things. I'm not saying Louisville has been that much better against good competition this season.
Right.
But with that being said, again, this is going to be a very close game. This game should not be one that anybody expects to be a blowout one way or the other. However, Louisville is firing. They are rolling right now.
They are.
And
absolutely.
You know, that, again, as much as people like to say, oh, yeah, that's going to be, you know, we know which way this is going to come out, and we know which Louisville team is going to show up. We don't. But we also don't know which Ole Miss team is going to show up. So this is a very mercurial – two teams that have been fairly mercurial going up against each other in a matchup that determines some very, very important things for both teams in terms of an Elite Eight appearance.
Who will keep punching up? That is the question. The tournament is heating up, and there's no better place to get in on that action. FanDuel, America's number one sports book. That's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the nets. All on the app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. We're rocking and rolling with Kenton Gibbs. We're talking through NCAA Women's Tournament. We got a lot going on here on Saturday. Notre Dame takes on a very good Diamond Miller and Maryland team at 11:30 a.m. on ESPN. No Olivia Miles, no, you know, extreme, like, standout guard play, but Notre Dame is still figuring out ways to win. You can't knock that from them. Despite not having their ace Boone, they're still in this bad boy. So that's definitely a nod. But can they beat a really, really talented Maryland team?
You know, I hate to say this. I really do. I really hate to say this. And it's I think that this is the end of the road for Notre Dame. I think that this is the end of the road. I think that they've had a phenomenal season, all things considered. I think that they've had an excellent season. You know what I mean? They winning the ACC tournament. Yep. Winning. I'm sorry, not winning the tournament. They were the number
regular,
one seed.
Regular season.
They won the regular season, being the regular season champs, accomplishing a lot of the things that they did this season. It was a great season. It was a great season. And I think they're going to build upon it.
Yeah.
You look at what happened earlier this season when these two teams played, and that was with a full situation in terms of the, you know, both teams being fully healthy and all that. And Maryland came away with a nail-biting, last-second buzzer-beating win. Mm-hmm. But now you go forward and look at this game, and I'm struggling to see what Notre Dame's path forward is in terms of beating Maryland. I am.
Is Lauren Ebro going to have a good game? You know, is she going to be the one who comes through from being just, you know, a block party, from being the one that gets it in the paint? You know, I think without Olivia, is West Bell going to be one of those four who steps up in a big way? It's going to be tough. Like, I can't see a scenario or a matchup to where I give it to the Fighting Irish, and or I think that, you know, you've been playing on borrowed time without having Olivia Miles and having your leader. Like, she can only do so much off the bench, right?
And I'm gonna say this, and this is me being 100% honest, and this is no hate or disrespect. And anybody who tells me that I am, I would like for you to show me proof that I'm wrong here, okay? Against Mississippi State, Maddie West Bell and Sonya Citrone combined to go 6 of 25 from the field, 0 of 7 from deep, 23 points, 11 of those points came at the line. Maddie West Bell did amazing work on the boards with 15 rebounds, Sonya Citrone with 5 of her own, but they combined for 8 turnovers.
Yeah.
I don't see a path for this team to beat Maryland. With all due respect. And I know that was a terrible game. I know that was one of their worst games, even without Olivia. I know that, you know, you can't count on them not hitting a single three in a game just because they don't have Olivia. I understand that. I'm with you. I'm there. But unless there's a situation where, you know, I talk a lot about the fact that sometimes a volcano is overdue, and when that happens, an eruption like you've never seen before is the next thing coming. Unless that eruption happens here, I don't see a way that they're going to beat Maryland.
1,000%. Let's talk about Tennessee and Virginia Tech, a Virginia Tech team that has been rolling, hasn't really had too much pressure about them so far. So good for the Hokies. I mean, to me, Amore, you've got Greg, you've got Elizabeth Kitley, of course. They're just moving nicely through this tournament. This will be the first punch in the mouth to say, hey, we're here. You're going to have to earn this one. But I still don't see Tennessee putting up the same bout that Virginia Tech will.
You know, here's the very interesting thing about this game that I think that most people need to kind of pay attention to here, right? Some people are going to say, well, look at how big and dominant the blowouts that the Volunteers have had, and look at how close the games, the last two games that Virginia Tech has played were, or the game against San Diego, South Dakota State, that was. Mm-hmm. Here's what I would say. If you actually watch that game, mm-hmm. Kenny Brooks had called the dogs off about halfway through the third quarter. Like, they were up, I want to say 20-something, by halftime.
Yeah.
You can afford to do that.
Right.
When you're up by that much, when you're dominating a team that thoroughly, you can afford to say, hey, you know, y'all go ahead, do your little thing, do your little deal, you know, whatever the case may be. The score was 46-23 at halftime. Like, yeah, that was not a close game. So, of course, Kenny can say, hey, you know, all of the backups, walk-ons, all y'all, go get in the game. Go
right,
have
right.
fun. Enjoy it.
1,000%.
This is a Virginia Tech team that, you know, this is their first time being here. Tennessee is, of course, one of the blue bloods of women's college basketball and all that. This game, I think, is a situation where stopping Kittley is going to be tough, even with some of the length that Tennessee has in their front court and all that good stuff. But the question is going to be, is Kittley going to go legend in this game and show, hey, this is why. This right here is why I'm the ACC Player of the Year. This right here is why I'm on the Naismith watch list. This right here, because to me, I think that Georgia Moore, fantastic player. Taylor Soleil, a fantastic player. I think that there is a moment in these games, there's a moment in these tournaments where big-time players need to make big-time plays in big-time games. And Elizabeth Kittley, I'm looking at you. It's time to play big time, baby.
And, you know, I think Tennessee, as much as we want to hype him up, give him all the love, like, it's not the Tennessee of old to me.
Right. Like, Candace Parker ain't walking through that door.
It's not CP3. It's not the legendary Tennessee. It's not Kara Lawson and the girls. Like, I think it's good team. I think the SEC is overrated, especially when you look at women's basketball. So for me, I'm just like, it was cute. Tennessee, LSU, all the things beyond South Carolina's in a league of their own. I don't even put them in the SEC for real. Right. Like, it's cute, but like, we got some dogs over here. Some actual dogs that I think are going to unveil themselves in tomorrow's matchup. So I'm excited to see where Coach Brooks and the girls take this. I don't think it's going to be close. I do think they're going to be like challenged, but I think they're ultimately going to pull it away. So there's that.
I mean, again, the matchup of the game is going to be Jordan Horston and Elizabeth Kittley. Like, that's going to be the deal right there, right? Like, how can she do in holding down and containing Kittley? And what is Kittley going to do in holding her down? Like, let's just be honest about it, because she's the second in command when it comes to scoring over there, other than Rakia Jackson, who is another player. You know, shout out to my fellow Detroiters. You know, shout out to Rakia. But anyway. This is a situation where, again, Tennessee has some length in that front court. They have multiple players that are going to make it tough on Kittley. But again, Kittley, you got to go legend. You've got to show everybody, this is why I was born for this moment. I do this moment. Because if she can't, then, I mean, this could end up being, oh boy, the SEC is definitely better than the ACC. Look what we did to their tournament champion.
I hope that's not the case. I'm really rooting hard for the Hokies in this one. So, yeah, I'll leave you. I feel that. I feel the energy of that one. There's no pressure but pressure.
Tons of pressure. There's tons of whoever said that there was no pressure lied to you. That's not what we're looking at all here, my baby. There is pressure. There is pressure. There is pressure. But you know what? Pressure bursts pipes and it builds diamonds. So let's see who's going to shine brightest in this moment.
1,000%. The Built March Madness bracket is here. We know you have your favorite Built or Puff. Now's your time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote on your favorites. Your lucky vote could get you a Built or Puff or a free box to 50 lucky Locked On listeners when you enter a drawing. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built, the best protein bar ever. Seriously, they're so amazing, you won't think that they're good for you. What makes Built Bar so, and Puffs so good? Well, for starters, they are all high in protein, low in sugar, and covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. Run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote on your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. We're wrapping up the show here. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the portal party for the women's side of things, because one of the most shocking portal entries, Kennedy Todd Williams, is out at North Carolina. And Destiny Adams was one where I was like, huh, I mean, okay. I don't get it, but fine. But the Kennedy Todd Williams one is having me put in a little pause. And I say that because, well, here's me as a viewer. Here's me as a fan. Here's me as, this is my alma mater. At some point, the smoke, there's fire. At some point, me watching with my eyes, having certain players go out and team playing well, and then people coming back in and the team like rattled, just something to that. I could see why their people decided to enter the portal. But Kennedy Todd Williams definitely is a staple in this program. So it's really tough for me to see her walk away.
I mean, again, it's the new reality. It's the new reality of the game. And it's really confusing, you know, on the it's when I look at Kennedy Todd Williams, I say to myself, not only were you a staple, I mean, with the way that roster is set up, like you were going to get plenty of minutes, plenty of shots, the opportunity that if you could prove, hey, I'm a baller, I need the ball in my hands more, if you can go out there and prove that, you're going to have that. You're going
it's
to
something else. It has to be something else, right?
I mean, it could be. Could be. I mean, I asked the same question about some other players that are transferring. Camille Hobby started every game for NC State this year.
Yeah.
And she's transferring. So it's like you're starting playing 20 minutes a game. What more do you want? You're getting up 8 shots a game. What type of player do you think you are? Who, you know, it could be something else. It could be on the court thing. Who knows?
It could be a familial thing. Like, I think one, the way, of course, you mentioned college basketball is now is crazy. People just leave all the time. But for two, I definitely think there needs to be an ego check involved. And when we talk about the landscape of college basketball, everyone thinks they're a superstar, right? Everyone thinks that they're great. So at some point, work has to be put in and you have to get over some adversity. You have to see it through. Me personally, I went to a school, times were hard, but I wanted to get a degree from said school. So like the idea of transferring was there, but just never really manifested itself. And so it's hard to, like, I'm sure, think about how your life has been at one place, one time, this whole kit and caboodle. You're literally going into your senior year, and then you decide that you're not going to, you know, cross, you know, your tassel with your girls when it's all said and done. Like, that's got to be challenging, and I'm sure a hard decision. But, I mean, everyone makes what they need to do. Everyone figures out for themselves. But at some point, I don't know. Some people got to just see some things through. Hobby would be one of them. Kennedy Todd Williams, I think, should be the other.
I'm just going to, you know, player movement, I'm all for it.
Sure.
I'm I'm all for players having the freedom to make decisions as they please and transfer as many times as they want, you know, because coaches can leave and go from one job to the next, day in, day out, and we all look at it like it's okay and fine. But here's what I will say. I'm not sure, or actually, let me say this. I am 100% certain that all of these players that are leaving, because I saw it back when I played, and that was before the transfer portal was a thing. I saw players leaving that in my mind, I'm like, my brother in Christ, this is as good as it gets for you.
Grass ain't greener.
This is as good as it gets for you. And it's not even about the grass not being greener. That player, objectively, I did not see, you're not going to return to the Power 5 level. Mm-hmm. You're not. You could potentially maybe get on with a group of 5, maybe, possibly, if you the numbers work out right for you, maybe.
So it's like going from NC State to Iona, basketball-wise.
And there were players who I just looked at, and I'm like, you're not. You know, you're not the tallest, not the fastest, not the strongest. Your tape isn't great. You don't really – I've seen you in practice every day.
Yeah.
You have some things that you do like, okay, that's not bad. Yeah. We can work with it, but you're a junior. You're supposed to be realized potential at this point. So, you know, I'm not sure that everybody has good counsel in their ear telling them what they need to hear instead of what they want to hear. Everybody's probably having somebody rubbing their shoulders and say, oh, if you go here, you know, they love to get the ball to their post players. You'll score X amount. Mm-hmm. Oh, if you go here, you know, they don't have no forwards like you. They don't have no wings like you. You'll go ahead and put up all the points you want to put up. Sure. Sure. In theory, yeah. And again, there have been players that transferred and set the world on fire at their new places.
Sure.
However, for every one of those, for every one of those, there are 50. Yeah, I transferred from here and I was the exact same player at this new place. Or I transferred from here and I didn't play at the new place at all. I was done out of basketball a month into the season because I said I was done with the whole thing.
And respectfully, there's just a certain set of eyes for the women's game that are only going to go to certain teams. Like, we're still building this game, right? We're still trying to figure it out. And I know that, you know, we talk about, you know, men's sports all the time. Like, if you're just good, they'll find you. If you're a great talent, they'll see you and seek you out and da-da-da-da. It's hard to make the women's pro league at some of the best schools in the game.
Oh, yeah. It's not crazy for the number 10 – number 8 picks to not make the roster. Like, that's how
Alyssa Cunane literally won ACC 3 years in a row. She got drafted and got cut before she even wore a jersey. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's the reality of the women's game to me is if I've made a name for myself somewhere, I'm not going to go try and make a name for myself somewhere else, because the way people are trying to find the pick and da-da-da, free agency, it ain't the same for the women's game as it is men. And that's okay. That's just the reality of it is right now. So whatever their reasons are, more power to them. God bless, Godspeed. I want them to do well. Hate they have to leave their situations, but I certainly think sometimes it lets us step back and really look at the full landscape of what we're doing before we make some really hard decisions.
And I'll tell you another thing about this, that this applies to the men and women. If you're looking at the realistic situation in terms of the numbers, right? Let's look at the numbers and what the numbers tell you.
Yeah.
Even if you do make it on a WNBA roster, just barely hanging on, right? The amount of money that you'd make as like an end of the bench player in the WNBA, if you got a degree from some of these institutions, some of these elite academic institutions that players are transferring out of.
Yeah, 100%. You know. And if you're trying to go to North Carolina, to a South Carolina or a Tennessee or an LA, you hope that there's not a spot already taken. You know what I'm saying? Like, the availability might not necessarily be there. So you put yourself in a position to where if you're not, you know, a Bria Beal, if you're not a Zaya Cook, if you're not an Aaliyah Boston or any of these, you know, super elite names out here, it's going to be tough for you.
Well, if you're transferring into those types of programs, I mean, you had to be the star at your last spot. Like, you're not transferring into those places as like a, I mean, and no offense to these two players, but like these two would likely not be going there. Like, that's
I see a Kennedy Todd Williams going to, like, I can't even call a name, like a Pittsburgh. I think she would do great at Pittsburgh. She would start at Pittsburgh. She would excel at Pittsburgh.
I mean, at the end of the day, when I'm looking at what these players have done, you know. Yeah. So, for example, we were just talking about Tennessee. If we look at Jordan Walker, their point guard, who transferred from Western Michigan, right? 2 seasons ago, she was putting up 16 a game. Like, that's – it makes sense. There's an argument there for, like, okay, I can see why she was chosen to, quote-unquote, make a move up. Like, it makes sense. For some of y'all players, y'all aren't that player. Y'all aren't that, with all due respect.
Yeah, 100%. Crazier times have happened. That's our portal party update for the women's side of things. As we mentioned, the men are playing tonight against Houston. We have 4 games for the women's side, 2 happening on Friday, 2 happening on Saturday. So we'll be back on Monday to recap all of it. Miami, hold us down on the men's side. We got it. We got to be able to have a whole good time over here. So let's keep this thing rolling. If you are watching the women's game, make sure you tweet at us at LockedOnACC. You subscribe to the channel. We are 19 subs away from 1,000. I feel like we got to have a party once we hit 1K, because we've been just dying for it for so long.
Absolutely.
We're going to have a 1K special episode live where we're just going to have all the fans come up. We're going to pick a time where we just set it off, set the tone. So we'll do that for you all. But for Candace Cooper and Kenton Gibbs, we hope you have a great, safe weekend. Be smart out there. Enjoy some sunshine. Until next time.